Hello, and welcome to Ghoul Society Bedtime Stories. I'm your host, Sarah, and in these short story episodes, my big sister Jamie and I will be solo covering tales that deserve the spotlight but are a bit short for our regular episodes. Today, I am grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations, and the Lekwungen and Wasainich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society. Oh, you guys, what a crazy October. I hope you're all staying safe and enjoying the very warm weather that we've been having. Listen, on the down low, I know my last bedtime story wasn't actually scary, and you know, not a lot of people liked it, but hey, that's okay. We're learning, I'm evolving, learning how to do these shorter form episodes, and doing them solo is more difficult than I initially thought. Oh, what I was going to say is I wanted a bit of a lighter episode to kind of distract you from all the stuff going on in the summer, especially if you're somewhere where the wildfires are, you know, get your mind off of the scariness of the world more so, and kind of just delve into something a little bit more fun, theatrical. But as we are gearing up towards spooky season, I am going to do some more spooky episodes. You're going to see some Halloween content on our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube shorts within the coming weeks and, of course, the coming months. And you best believe I am going to get my decorations ready. I usually start with my fall items around mid to end of October. And yes, I'm saying October, not August, because it feels like it's starting to get fall. Like, it's cold at night. It's probably around, like, where I'm from on the West Coast, it doesn't get super cold, but it's around 13 at night. It's around, like, light to mid-20s during the day, so it's still hot. But it is starting to feel like fall. We're only about 2 weeks away from September, so I'm really getting into the fall vibe. So I think this weekend I'll probably get out my fall items, and then closer to October, at the end of September, I usually add all my Halloween-specific decor. And I want you to send us a message, DM us online, comment on our YouTube, and tell us how you liked decorating this time of year. So let's get into it, shall we? This week, we are once again staying in BC. I know, I like the province, whatever. But we are going up north to Quesnel, which is located on the traditional lands of the Dene, Dekel, and Tsilhqot'in nations. The Dene territory is roughly translated to the land of the people and stretches from the Mackenzie River Valley to the Great Bear Lakes and up through very vast mountain ranges up north. Throughout these areas, the Dene Nation encompasses five groups each, with their own language and territory within Dene itself. Dekel means people who go around by boat, roughly, and encompasses many smaller nations of people who collectively call themselves Carrier or Dekel and reside within central BC, the province. The Tsilhqot'in people are the people of the river, and they continue to live with and protect the land. And with that said, there are many communities within the nation that maintain the Tsilhqot'in culture and customs. And of course, a lot of these nations are, you know, they're not made by boundaries or borders kind of like we have now. So I think there's a lot of overlap with these nations and these peoples throughout time immemorial as well. So I wasn't really aware of some of the historical and now spooky towns, history, and items within the northern interior of BC until Montana actually got a message from some family telling me to check out some specific stories. So here we are. I'm touched immensely that our families listen to my podcast. You know who I'm talking about, and I'm so excited to bring these stories to life. So today we're talking about a specific item that's actually held at the Quesnel Museum, and her name is Mandy. Now, just to preface, if you don't like dolls in general or haunted dolls, this may not be the episode for you, because Mandy is an almost 100-year-old doll that was taken in by the Quesnel Museum back in 1991. The person who donated Mandy inherited her from her grandmother, who actually kept Mandy in a trunk until the grandmother's death. When the donor got Mandy from the passing of her grandmother, she thought of giving it to her daughter, but Mandy is so old and so fragile, she's a porcelain doll. And the donor also got a weird feeling from Mandy, so she brought her right to the museum. Rumor says that the woman who donated Mandy would often hear crying from the trunk where the doll was kept, further adding to her desire to donate the doll to the museum. And I don't know about you, but if I heard a doll crying from a trunk, listen, okay, the donor did have a daughter, but if you hear like a young child crying in the middle of the night and you go check on your kid, they're totally fine, and then you go to the trunk where you're keeping this doll and you hear the crying coming from there, I would also donate this doll to a museum to be kept in a glass case. Right off the bat, Mandy became the talk around the water cooler at the museum as staff began telling each other strange occurrences with the doll. During Mandy's very first night at the museum, she was photographed and left in the lab overnight before she would be displayed for the public to view. The next morning, staff members found the lab in complete disarray, as if a child had thrown a tantrum and was just throwing things around wildly. On other occasions, Mandy's companion, a stuffed lamb that keeps her company in her case, has been found on the floor outside of her display case. Now, you guys, this display case, kind of think about, you know, the other haunted doll display cases like Robert the Doll or Annabelle. It's like a wooden framed case, but it is glassed. And so Mandy's sitting in it. She has her little stuffed lamb to keep her company. And this lamb is found on the floor in the morning when the museum opens, and no one's been inside. Weird. Many visitors to the museum report odd experiences while meeting Mandy as well. Someone from Calgary, Alberta, wanted to take a video of Mandy while in the museum, but was very confused to find that their camera malfunctioned anytime they were near the doll, but worked everywhere else within the museum. Another person from Surrey, BC, told the museum that upon returning home from their trip, they discovered their house had been broken into. Now, this isn't that weird, but the odd part is that the only item that was stolen from their home was an old porcelain doll. As if Mandy wanted a porcelain friend more than her stuffed lamb. I don't really know what happened here, but that is very weird. Another very serious incident happened to a young girl when visiting the museum. She was with her family walking through the museum when they stopped in front of Mandy's case, and the young girl passed out seemingly out of nowhere. She was taken to the hospital where she had to stay overnight due to her blood pressure being so dangerously low for a long period of time. In an interview with the then museum manager, Elizabeth Hunter, she stated that the young girl likely became so excited and scared by seeing Mandy that she passed out. But I think it's odd that a seemingly regular porcelain doll would scare a child so bad that their blood pressure would plummet. So I think it's more probable that she experienced a random medical event, or that a family member perhaps scared her when they were around the doll, being like, ooh, you know, this doll is haunted. I don't know, something like that. Along with these specific occurrences, many people who visit Mandy at the Quesnel Museum claim that her eyes follow them as they wander around the other exhibits. According to one resource I found online about Mandy, I found that at one point she was actually taken from her case in the museum and flown all the way to New York City in the US as a featured guest on the Montel Williams show, when he hosted renowned psychic Sylvia Brown. Producers of the show, and I think maybe the museum staff, wanted to give Mandy some more exposure to the world, and they wanted to see if they could possibly gain more information about the doll's backstory in general. The psychic Sylvia Brown reported on the show that Mandy is likely from England or Germany around the late 1920s to early 1930s. With that said, it is believed that the grandmother of the donor of the doll got Mandy secondhand as a child. So this time frame could possibly be correct if the grandmother's maybe elder sibling or maybe a friend or a cousin had Mandy and then gave her to the grandmother and then the donor who donated Mandy to the museum. I will note now, though, that Sylvia Brown's predictions and psychic tellings were pretty much never correct. And by the time of her death in 2013, she was a noted scam artist, which really just puts a bad name on psychics in general and those who are in tune with the spiritual realm. Now, me myself, I love talking about spooky things, haunted things. I love talking about spiritual things and learning more about that within myself. So I think it's a real shame that people use that and like medium abilities to kind of manipulate other people. But anyway, Mandy continues to live in her glass case with her little lamb within the Quesnel Museum. If you're ever on a road trip in BC's northern interior, I really suggest going to meet Mandy. I know I will. I hope you enjoyed this bedtime story, and don't worry, we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming very soon. Jamie is coming back very soon. She has been away for some time, that's why we've been recording like this. But don't worry, the Ghoul Society sisters will be reunited very soon. We've got some really fun stuff cooking up for this fall and the spooky season. Of course, this is our time of year. It's our favorite time of year, and we hope you follow along for the ride. If you have any questions, comments, critiques, or concerns, please email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com and send us your own stories. You can find us on Instagram at ghoulsocietypod, on TikTok at ghoul.societypod, and of course on YouTube. You can just type in Ghoul Society. You can listen to our episodes there. I also do post some shorts there so you can see those. Thank you so very much for listening, and don't let the bedbugs bite. Bye!